So up to Omri Shlakish on Daf Lamed Aleph. Lamed Aleph. Let's see. Just try to see how many lines is it up from the bottom of the Amud. Just 1 second. Seven. Let's try 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Seven lines up from the bottom of Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. Omri Shlakish. My dichsiv. Okay, this is a pasuk in Yeshayahu and Novi, and this pasuk divides up into six different subcategories. Okay. It says, V'hoya emunas itecha chosen yeshuos Chachma v'das v'gomer. So Reish Lakish doesn't even quote the entire pasuk because he is going to analyze piece by piece every part of this pasuk. Now, the pasuk speaks about the stability of your time and the strength of salvation in wisdom is wisdom and knowledge. The fear of God is in his storehouse. What is the simple context of this pasuk? So he says over here in the footnote that the context of this pasuk in Yeshaya is a nevuah about Klal Yisrael at the time of Sancheriv, Melech Ashur, and Yeshayo in a very positive prophecy assures Klal Yisrael that they'll be saved from Sancheriv. And Yeshaya wants to tell the people that if they want to wish their security to be long-lasting, then they should acquire wisdom, knowledge, and fear of God. And these will be a storehouse, which is called Chosen, for the Jewish people, to preserve peace in the land. So if they want peace, they need these different areas of acquisition of wisdom, knowledge, and fear of God. So what are all the different descriptions here in Yeshayahu and Navi? The first one was Emunas. Zeh Seder Zroim. Now, when a person when he sows and plants his seeds, he comes to believe in God because he sees something amazing. What happens is the seeds kind of rot in the ground and hopefully the rain falls and all of a sudden out of nowhere, almost miraculously, you know, the fruits grow. It's a guaranteed emuna. And therefore Zroim, which means agriculture, is connected to emuna. It really fortifies us with faith in God. Then we have itecha, which means your time. Zeh Seder Moed, right? Moed is kedushas hazman, and that refers to itecha. It's very interesting to me that large chunks of Moed really belong to Kodshim. Like, take for example Masechta Yoma, which is part of Itecha, which is part of Seder Moed, and yet I don't know what percentage, but probably 90%. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Of Masechta Yoma is really Kodshim. 50% of Masechta Pesachim is Kodshim. And yet Pesachim is part of Moed. So I think the answer is that there's Kodshim that has to do with the Mizbeach, and there's Kodshim that ends up in the Mizbeach, but it has to do with the Moed. That the Moed itself engenders, whether it's Korban Pesach, whether it's the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, but that Avodah is really rooted in Moed. Then we have Chosen. Chosen is strength. Zeh Seder Noshim. And that probably means that the family gives the strength. It's the backbone of the Jewish community. So therefore, Noshim deals with those laws of Yibum, of Kiddushin, of Nisuin, of Gerushin. Now, he has a Targum Unkelus who says that the word Chosen, this is in Bamidbar, which we translate as strength, is a reference for heirs, for Yarshim. And therefore the word Chosen will connect to Seder Noshim, because after you create a family, then you are able to produce the next generation of Yarshim. And Rashi seems to go in that direction, because he says Chosen Lashon Yarshim. He must be referring to this Targum Unkelus at the end of Bamidbar, Val Yidei Isha Noldu Yarshim. Okay, then we go on, and we're up to Yeshuos. Yeshuos Zes Seder Nezikin. So we're going to have to look at Rashi, because this is not apparently intuitive. Why should salvation have anything to do with Nezikin unless we're trying to protect those who are victims of Nezikin? And that's called the salvation. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Seder Nezikin, Moshion Mazir Lifrosh Mehezek Vehamischayev Mama. So I guess the way to protect and save our bodies and our possessions is through the warning that the Torah gives you, that if you damage someone, then you will be chayev for nezikin. You'll have to pay for the hefsed moment. He adds another point here in the footnote. He says that Seder Nezikin teaches one how to save himself from damaging others or being indebted to others. So that means I save myself from incurring some sort of a chiyuv. Chachma ze seder kodshim. Now, if you know a little bit about the Israeli branch of Brisk, of the Soloveitchik family, they emphasize almost exclusively kodshim, because the study of kodshim is very abstract and very analytic, and that gives you wisdom. I mean, Chazal seemed to assume that the reason why we start children with Sefer Vayikra, which is the book of Kodshim, is because Yavo Tar V'Yilmo Dine Tara. You know, in other words, for Kodshim we need Tara. But we're saying a little bit different, that Kodshim is the study of abstract analysis, concepts and definitions, and that's Chachma. V'Das Ze Seder Taros. Now, what is the connection between Taros and Das? Rashi says Das is Odif Michachma. It's beyond wisdom. And maybe this means that the analysis of Taros requires even more strenuous logical didactics than even Kodshim itself. And that means that the study of Taurus is even more challenging, more profound than that of Kodshim. For example, I was told that if you're doing Daf Yomi, be aware of Masechta Nida. It's at the very end, but it's very, very challenging. And that's Taurus. I mean, there's parts of Nida which is more like Issa Veheta, but that part of Nida, which is Taros, that's really, really challenging. So let's just go over if we have all six, what we call Zman Nokat, right? We have Zmanim, we have Moed, we have Noshim, we have Nezikin, we have Kodshim, and we have Taros. Those are the Shisha Storim. Now, at the end of this Pasuk, it says, I'll read it to you in English, the fear of God is in His storehouse. So in other words, these various traits of wisdom, knowledge, and fear of God all have to culminate with fear of God. That's going to be the storehouse. Afilu hachi, that's what the Gemara says, that even if you have all these dimensions of wisdom, nevertheless, Yiras Hashem hi otzaro. The storehouse here is the fear of God. And this is the key of keys, that if you want to place all of your knowledge into a storehouse under lock and key and prevent it from being lost and being forgotten, then what you need is Yiras Hashem. That's going to be your Otsar. He writes here, if one has developed a sense of fear of the Almighty, then he will remember the Torah that he has learned. The Torah will remain in the storehouse of his mind. If, on the other hand, he has not developed a sense of the fear of God, then that which he has studied will seem of less importance to him, and he's more likely to forget it quickly. He gives a sort of a psychological explanation for a person who's lacking in Yiras Hashem, forgetting his Torah. But I don't know if you have to give a psychological explanation. I think it could be more of a religious piety issue, that the Gemara very often compares the study of Torah to holding a very fragile glass, which means that you need an extra effort to protect the glass from falling, because if it falls, it shatters into pieces. And that's how precarious it is to acquire Torah knowledge. It's so easy to forget Torah knowledge. So you need some sort of extra force to lock up your Torah knowledge and protect it in a storehouse. And that's going to be Yiras Hashem. A person who's Yiras Hashem, Hashem is going to aid him and grant him the ability to remember his Torah. I don't know if you have to translate it into psychological terms. Amar Rava. Now, this agadah that we're studying today, this, I think the subject or the title of which is Yiras Hashem. And the kickoff was this pasuk in Yeshaya, the way we interpreted it in the name of Reish Lakish, that the Otsar to remember all the Torah is going to be Yiras Hashem. But now the Gemara is going to go off on a wide, broad discussion about Yiras Hashem. Omar Rava. B'shashem achnisim adam ledin. What are the first questions that the judges on high will ask you? Omrim lo, number one, nasasa v'nasata be'emuna. Were you trustworthy and honest in your business transactions? Kavata Torah le'itim. And this is the mitzvah of kvias itim le'torah, which the Gemara derives from a pasuk in Yoshua. V'gisabo yomam v'layla, that you have to find a specific time during the day and one at night to be kovea itim. Kovea itim is a very important thing. We hear stories about different pious Jews who would never take a break, so to speak, would never be distracted during those set times that they had, set chavrusas. We have a sugya, for example, in Pesachim about someone who is kovea itim, and perhaps he's allowed to push off bedikas chametz because he doesn't want to interfere with his kvius itim. There's also a sugya at the beginning of Megillah about being kovea itim. And this is going to be the very second question that Hashem will ask on high, in the Bezdin Shel Mala. Now it's interesting that the kickoff here, according to Rava, is Nasata v'nasata be'emuna. You know, you would have thought that maybe the responsibility to have set fixed times for learning Torah, that maybe should be primary. But you see here that Bein Adam Lechavero, you know, that honesty is the beginning of Menschlichkeit. You know, this defines a person as a human being in the Torah's Hashkafa. A human being is more than just flesh and blood. He's someone who's totally dedicated to the benefit of his fellow Jew, and he's absolutely honest. Then we go on to being Kovei Itim. Third question. Asakta Bepiria Verivya. Now we're going to see that the Marsha is going to try to learn that each one of these questions reflect the different six categories in the pasuk in Yeshaya of Reish Lakish, and therefore it's very possible that the order and the sequence of these questions has to reflect and is derived from the pasuk in Yeshaya. But we'll get to that soon. So now we're up to the mitzvah of Pirya Verivya. And Chazal call this mitzvah a mitzvah rabbah. It's a great mitzvah. And it's the first mitzvah that's recorded in the Torah. And it addresses the human race. God did not create this world to be desolate. He wants us to populate the world. Now, there's a chiddush here of Reb Shlomo Kluger. He says that if you adopt a child, for whatever reason, let's say you can't have your own children, then that's considered Pirya Verivya. And I would grant him that in this context, he's absolutely right. Because by raising this child, let's say you adopt an orphan, then basically you are making it possible for that orphan to grow and to mature and to be part of settling society. Next we have Tzipisa Liyeshua. Are you anxiously waiting Moshiach? I remember once I heard Rabbi Frand, if you heard of Rabbi Frand from the Neri Soul of Baltimore, he was trying to describe what it means Tzipisa Liyeshua. And he says, imagine you're waiting online in a supermarket for the cashier, meaning there are three or four people, whatever it is, ahead of you online. And you're just so anxious to get out of there. You know, you could go absolutely stark crazy. I remember I was once online in Rami Levi, and I was going a little nuts. But the guy in front of me, as it turns out, was a shrink. He was a psychiatrist. So I asked him to help me get through this very rough period. But see, Peace of Yeshua means I can't wait for the Mashiach to come. They say about the Chofetz Chaim that he had his bags packed. You know, he had a suitcase waiting to join the Mashiach. Not to lose a minute of time. Is Pilpalta Bechachma. It's not enough that you study the wisdom, but you have to delve into it, you have to analyze it. And then Evanta Dover Mitok Dover. Not only should you understand that which you learn, but you should derive other conclusions through analogy. And Vafilu Hachi says, Rava, even after you successfully answered all the above questions, nevertheless, then we get to the main question, the punchline question, and that is, Yiras Hashem Hi Otsaro. If it's Yiras Hashem Hi Otsaro in, then you'll get a favorable judgment. But Lo, if you're not dedicated to Yiras Hashem, Lo. So let's see if we can figure out whether this parallels the Pasuk in Yeshaya. So we're going to count, help me count up here, Abosai. We have number one, Nasasim, Nasasim, Emuna. Number two, Kavati, Itim, Latar. Number three, Asaktim, Piriviv. Number four, Tzipis, Lishua. Number five, is Pilpalta, Bechachma. And number six is Hevanta, Dover, Mitoch, Dover. So the number six is good. Now let's go back and see if we can fit this in. Let's see, we start with Nasat. Oh, that's good. Emuna was the first word. The next word was Itecha. Very good. Kavata Itim. Excellent. Then the third word was Chosen, which we said had to do with family. So that's Asakta B'Pirivya Rivya. Then the next word was Yeshuos, and that's Tzipis Yeshua. The next word is Chachma, and he has Pilpalta B'Chachma. And finally, he has Das. And Das is more developed and more sophisticated beyond Chachma, and that's to be able to make analogies and derive one conclusion from another. Mashal li adam sha'amar l'shlucho. Now, the Gemara wants to elaborate on this concept of Yiras Hashem hi otsara. Imagine you send someone as your representative. Hello, lo, haleli kar chitim lalia. I need you to store away for me a kar, a certain volume of wheat, up in the attic. Holach vehello lo. So the shliach thinks that he, you know, he's boasting that he certainly fulfilled his responsibility. Amar lo. So the owner of the house says to him, Iravta behem. Kav chumton. So chumton is some sort of a chemical agent He calls it a piece of earth that has high salt content, and when you mix it with wheat, it serves as a preservative, preventing the infestation of the grain. So in other words, when you store grain, you got to protect it. If you don't protect it, it's going to be eaten up by who knows what. So therefore, you want to tell me you fulfilled your agency. Well, first tell me, did you add this protective ingredient? Amalo laf, and he admitted that he hadn't done so. Amalo mutav imlo helesa. You didn't accomplish a thing. It would have been better had you not brought it up to the first place, because it's just going to get infestated, and it's going to be spoiled. He says, without this preservative, the grain will spoil quickly. So the agent's action of bringing the grain up to the storehouse is worthless. So it is with one who learns Torah but fails to develop his sense of fear of God. He will easily forget that which he has learned, and rendering futile all the time that he spent in studying. Pretty scary. Especially if you're doing Daf Yomi, it's very scary, because if you don't do Chazara, how are you going to remember what you learned? Tana d'bei Rabbi Yishmael, me'orev adam kavchumtun be'kur shel tvua v'ene choshesh. So let's say you ordered let's say three kavim's worth of wheat, and I delivered to you two kavim's worth of wheat and one kav of chumtan. Is eino choshesh, that's fine. In other words, we could subtract the chumtan from the total volume or the total weight of the produce that you ordered. And I'm not unfairly cheating you as a buyer, because it's understood that whatever volume you order and you pay for, it includes within it another element. It's X plus Y. And the Y represents this car of chumtan. And it's very fascinating to think that Yerushamayim, in the case of intellectual achievements, is the chumtan to protect your knowledge. So that's what they say. You know, the Gemara says that the Amoratzim are afraid of Shabbos. So I heard a contemporary twist on that, because during the week, if you ask me a question, I'll look it up in Google, or I'll look it up in Bar Ilan, or whatever program I have on computer. But if you ask me a question on Shabbos, I can't use the computer on Shabbos, so I'm very scared about Shabbos. I'm a Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Torah, anyone who has achieved in Torah learning, but V'ein Bo, but he doesn't have Yerushamayim. We're here on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Is Domel Gizbar Shemasulo Maftechas Apnimios Umaftechas Achitzonios Lo Masrulo Behei Oil? Gemara asks a rhetorical question. You give me the keys you give me the keys to the inner chamber, but you don't give me the keys to the outer chamber. So I have no way of getting access to the inner chamber, because I don't have a way of getting through the outside. He's Behei Oil, how's he going to get in? So the same thing here in the case of Talmud Torah. If you have your Shamayim, then you're able to, or Rashi puts the emphasis here on observing the Torah, performing the mitzvahs. If he doesn't have Yerushamayim, he's not going to put any emphasis on the mitzvahs and taking his knowledge and implementing it. So his Torah knowledge is going to spoil. Machriz Rav Yanai, Chaval al Dulesle Darta. He says, woe to one who does not own a courtyard, visara lidarta of it, but nevertheless he makes for himself a gate for the courtyard. He says, what's the point of making a gate to something if you don't own the chatzer? You don't own a chatzah, so you're going to make a gate for a chatzah. There's nothing beyond the gate. So here too, in the case of someone who studies Torah, but he has no chatzah. He doesn't have a place to protect the Torah that he has. I mean, he doesn't have Yerushalayim. So what good is it? It's worthless. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Lo bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esolama El Kedei Sheyiru Milafanav. The ultimate purpose of creation, from God's perspective, what we call teleological purpose of creation, is for the human beings to accept Yira Shamayim, to stand in awe of Hashem. Shenemar Velokim Asa Sheyiru Milafanav. And this is a pasuk in Koheles, and Elokim Asa means, why did God create the world? And the answer is Sheyiru Milafanav, that people will stand in awe of God. Now, with regard to this relationship between Yira Shamayim and Talmud Torah, the Gemara quotes the following incident. Rabbi Simon v'Rabbi Elazar Havayasve, they were sitting together, Rabbi Simon and Rabbi Elazar, Chalifi Azil Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, and Rabbi Yaakov passed by, Amar Le. So one of the two, I don't know if it was Rav Simon or Rav Elazar, says to Rav Yaakov, Amalei Chad Lechavre. Oh, what, actually, Rav Simon says to Rav Elazar, that they're talking about this Rav Yaakov who passed by, Neku, Neku Mekameh, we have to stand in his presence, we have to give him respect. Why? Degvar Dechel Chatoim Hu. Chil is ra'ada, is fear. So this gavra, this man, is in fear of sin. Amalei idach, so the other Talmud Chacham says in response, Neku mekameh, I would have another reason why I would stand for this Rav Acha, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, and that is the Gavar Bar Uriyin, the Gvar Bar Uvyin, who he's a great Talmud Chacham. Now, the emphasis here is on his knowledge. Amalei, so the first one said back to the second one, Aminu lecha no degvar dechel chatoenu. I told you that he fears God, he fears sin. The Amrit Li, and you're telling me, Bar Uriyanu, that he's a Torah scholar? He says, on the contrary, the fear of sin is more significant to show him deference, because ultimately on the hierarchy, the fear of sin is on the top. Now the Gemara wants to know who said what here in this conversation between Rav Simon and Rav Elazar. Tistayim de Rabbi Elazar hu diomar de gvar de chil chatanu. It was Rabbi Elazar who put the emphasis on the fear of sin. In other words, in the hierarchy, Rabbi Elazar is the one who puts a yira greater than Torah knowledge. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Elazar Ein Lo LaKadosh Baruch Hu Bolamo Ela Yiras Shamayim Bilvat. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world has nothing more than the fear of God. Shenemar, based on a pasuk which he's going to quote from Dvarim. It says here, V'ata Yisrael Mo Hashem Elkecha Shoel Mimach Ki Im Liyira. And furthermore, in Pasuk in Iyov, it says, "Vayomer li Adam hein yiras Hashem hi chachma." Now, the Gemara is going to emphasize the word "hein" in this pasuk, and the Gemara says, "Shekein v'loshin yivani korin li achas hein." So, in the Greek language, the letter, the number one, is called hein. So this is indicative of the importance of fear of God, that it's called Hain. Hain Yiras Hashem. Hi Chachma. Hain is reference to number one. Number one is the top, you know, top banana. What's number one on the hierarchy here, says Rabbi Elazar, is the fear of Hashem. That's greater than all the other virtues. Tistayim, it must be there for Rabbi Elazar, who is the one who said to Rav Simon, take a look at Rav Yaakov, because he's such a great Yirei Shamayim. He has such an intense fear of Hashem. Tistayin. And that's going to be the final conclusion. Darash Rav Ula, my dechsiv, what does the pasuk mean? I believe it's a pasuk in Koheles. Let's see if I'm right. Yeah. My dechsiv al tirsha harbe, val titzdak harbe. Harbe hu delo lirsha, hama'at lirsha. You know, don't be too much of an excessive Russia, but you're allowed to be a Russian in small measure. Ella, what the pasuk means is mishachal shum v'recho nodev. He ate garlic and now his breath smells. His yachzav yochal shumacher is going to make it even worse. V'ei recho nodev, he'll have even worse of a bad odor. In other words, come to grips with your level. You realize that you have not achieved what you wanted to achieve, and to some extent, you know, it's recho nodev, but you know, appreciate where you got to, take a look at the donut rather than the hole, and continue. So preserve whatever degree of righteousness that you have achieved, because sometimes when you sin, you know, you lose faith in yourself, and then you have a difficult time to resist the urge to sin again. You know, once I sinned already, I might as well sin again. And the pasuk says, "Al tirsha harbe." You know, whatever you did, but don't go beyond that. Darash Rava Bar Ula, my dechsiv. What is the pasuk in Tilim? It says, "Ein chartzuvos lemosam ubari leulam." Wow! Anyone who says that Tilim is easy, let him try reading this pasuk. Right? The English translation is, there are no ties that bind them upon their death, and their strength is robust. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo dayon l'rishoyim she'enom charedim v'atsevim miyom hamisa. The wicked people, even though they know they're going to die, nobody could deny that, but nevertheless, they're not fearful. They're not in a state of concern and anxiety about the day of their death. They're aware of the chartzubos, right? The ties that bind them to death, chartzubos lemosam, but yet their strength is still robust. In other words, they go on with their evil ways as if they weren't going to die. They completely ignore the fact that they're going to die, even though they really know they're going to die. Ela shalibam bari lahem ke'ulam. So even though they know they're going to die, but they're not fearful of death, and their hearts are as strong as ulam. Now ulam is a hall, an expensive or expansive hall. So he says here in the name of Rashi that a great hall which is wide and imposing serves as a metaphor for the bold and fearless outlook of life that's adopted by the wicked. V'ayinu d'yomar rabba mai d'chsiv, another pasuk in Tilim. Different capital. He says, mai d'chsiv, zed darkom kesel lomo. Translates into English, this is their way, it is their folly. What does that mean? Yodim Risham Shadarkam Lamisa. The wicked know that they're going to die. That's the destiny of all men. V'yeshlem Chelev Al Kislam. But nevertheless, they have fat on their loins. In other words, they're blinded by the enjoyment of physical pleasures in this world, which are symbolized by the word kesel. And he says, kesel means their folly, and chelev is the physical pleasures of this world. Shema tomar shichacha hi mihem. Maybe you'll say that sometimes they just, they forget about death. Talmud Lomar, V'achreyem b'fiyem yirtzu sela. Achreyem means the end of man, which means death, b'fiyem, and they can speak about it, they know about it. The wicked have not erased the thought of death from their minds. On the contrary, they speak constantly of the evil that awaits them at the end. But yet they have a certain complacency. You know, one part of their brain, they're aware of death and judgment. But on the other part of their brain, you know, they see death and judgment as something that's far off. You don't have to take it quite seriously. And therefore, their behavior is inexcusable because they are deliberately trying to ignore death and judgment. And now, the Gemara goes back to our Mishnah. So this is a temporary digression from the Agadita. We're going to get back to the Agadita. So this is the sugya of Kechas al Aner, the sugya of Rabbi Yossi. This is a very profound sugya that leads us to the next Mishnah. I think maybe we should take a break now for today, even though we do have a little bit more time. But I think that it's good to start with a fresh start of Mirtz Hashem for the next sugya. The next sugya is a really lumdish, profound sugya about Dovr Sheni Miskaven, about what's called Meleches Stira, about Mekalkel, to what extent Kavana plays a role, and what is the nature of Meleches Kibui. So Bli Neder will try to cover that tomorrow.